From Digitiki.com.
You see, Daddy, for the ideal martini, it must be 15 parts. There we are. And now for the vermouth.
Martinis, anyone?
Yes, I could use a drink. Here you are, Professor.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sensational, huh?
I'm afraid it's a bit dry.
Are you telling me one of my perfect martinis is too dry?
Yes.
Don't you realize a house making martinis for generations?
It's too dry.
You're insulting a family tradition.
Never mind that, Gilligan. Make him another drink.
I will. Just the way you like it. Nice and wet.
Gilligan!
Buy him a new suit, dear old dad.
Heavens, I've created a Frankenstein.
Welcome to the Quiet Village. I have a very special episode. This time we are going to the other side of the island. We're not going to do tiki music per se. We're not going to do rum drinks. We're actually going to do martinis with Mancini. So we got some Henry Mancini records on the turntable. We are going to relax in our swanky lounge with our smoking jacket and our ascot, and we are going to sip martinis. So I am here with a friend of mine, Stephen Sloan. Welcome. Aloha.
Aloha and cheers.
I'm glad to have you on. Now, the reason I had Stephen on was because at the last Caliente, which was the October when the Circa,
I guess
is what it was. Yeah. Everybody does these room parties where they mix up cocktails and everybody goes around, does room crawls. And they're all rum cocktails because it's tiki. And Stephen had a real gin martini room party, and it was fabulous. So, and it was the best gin martini I have had in a long time. So I said, you know what? I should have you on the show to talk about gin martinis. And then he had the idea. He said, why don't you do Mancini, music of Mancini? Okay, we'll put them together. We'll do martinis with Mancini.
I think it's a great combination. I listen to it at home all the time while drinking a martini.
Right on. So I got to say, I've had several martinis. I've had dirty martinis. I have had vodka martinis. I have gin martinis. But I don't know a thing about them. I don't know where they were invented or where they came about and some of the etiquette, other than the lovely pyramid glass or hourglass-shaped glass.
Oh, so, yeah, the martini glass is just a classic, isn't it?
I love it.
I'm just off the top of my head. There was an earlier cocktail called the Martinez, which I believe was gin with sweet and dry vermouth.
Oh, with both?
With both, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then the martini came afterwards, as, according to the text, as early as 1862.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, okay.
Yes. So it's an old cocktail, been around a long time. I don't know if there's a lot of debate as to who came up with it first.
Yeah.
But how about this for a quote? H.L. Mencken declared, "It is the only invention as perfect as a sonnet."
Oh, that's perfect. I love that.
Yeah, so we'll claim it as an American cocktail.
You told me this, and which I didn't realize, but a martini is gin. And a vodka martini is actually, what's it called?
A kangaroo.
A kangaroo.
Yes. It's a pet peeve of mine that when I order a martini, I'm always asked gin or vodka. And the answer is gin, of course.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with the vodka martini if you like them, but it's not really a martini.
Okay. So
in the traditional sense.
I have to say my first gin martini was, by default, it seems today, it's vodka. People make them with
yes.
Vodka. And you go to a bar and you order a martini and they'll ask you, what kind of vodka do you want? So it's kind of a default thing, which is kind of odd. But I went to a bar. It was kind of a nice swanky bar. And I ordered a martini, not even thinking. I was expecting vodka, and I got a gin martini. And I don't know what kind of gin it was, but it was rubbing alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't finish it.
There's a lot of bad liquor out there, that's for sure. Yes, and I think the first thing you should do in making a martini is get a good London dry gin.
Okay.
Yes. And gin's going through a real renaissance right now, as you know, rum, whiskey, all the liquors are. And there's a lot of really great gins out there that don't make a good martini.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
They're great for other things, but not martinis.
Okay.
London dry gin is what you want.
To do my own little research, I was on YouTube watching some of these videos on making martinis, and a drink that only has a couple of ingredients. It's some of these bars take it way out into extreme, I don't know what you'd call it, ritual with making it, which is, it's beautiful to watch. But I wonder, a lot of it's just flash. I don't know.
Have you watched the Japanese bartenders making cocktails?
I haven't.
Oh, that's a ritual. Yes.
Wow. They're and I cannot remember now because I'm doing this off the top of my head. It was a bar in London in a hotel. It's very swanky. I think Ian Fleming used to go there. And, you know, it's one of those where you have to have a tie and a jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender is he's an older Italian guy, and he's very serious about his martinis. And he was actually talking about a Vesper martini, how to make a Vesper.
Yes.
Which is another fascinating. I don't know if you've listened to early episodes, but I did a Bond episode where we drank Vespers. And
what'd you think of it?
I actually liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was kind of interesting that the vodka kind of cut a little bit. And I love the Lillet, the Kina Lillet.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really nice. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, because Ian Fleming invented the drink and didn't like it.
And didn't like it, right? Yeah. I've heard that.
Yes. But yeah, it's an interesting idea to combine the vodka with the gin. And it's just a little bit of vodka. I'm not really sure what its purpose is, other than maybe just to cut a little of the gin flavor. I don't know.
That must be it, because vodka is such a neutral flavor. So yeah, it must, or that was a nod to the Soviets too, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly.
Yeah. Because Bond was very Cold War era. So okay, well, let's get down to it. Let's get down to making the perfect martini. And I, like I said, yours were so smooth. And okay, so give us the ingredients. We'll mix one up, and then we'll start some tunes.
Okay.
And I'm writing this down. Okay.
Use a good London dry gin. I like Bombay Sapphire. That's what we used at the room party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to be using a new gin that I picked up recently. You can see that.
Lighthouse.
Lighthouse gin from New Zealand.
Oh, all right. I love that bottle.
Yeah, it's I think it's kind of like the Fresnel lens on a lighthouse.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a London dry gin from New Zealand with a little bit of lemon to it. It's
cool.
Yeah. And for vermouth, I've got some Dolin. I think, you know, use the best vermouth you can, use the best gin you can. But the real secret is use more ice than you think you need.
Really?
Yes. A good martini is a cold martini.
Yes.
Here's a quote from Ernest Hemingway, who was a big fan of the martini. Oh, those birds are screaming now. I'm looking at your lanai in the background there, and I'm thinking, well, we got to have parrots screaming.
That's perfect. I love it.
So here's what Ernest Hemingway said about his method for achieving coldness well and true, writing in a letter to a friend. We have found a way of making ice in the deep freeze in tennis ball tubes that comes out at 15 degrees below zero, and with glasses frozen too, makes the coldest martini in the world. The second thing is, and it's, I think this is entirely personal, is the ratio of vermouth to gin.
Okay, yeah, that was one question I had.
Yes. And I don't think there's a right answer other than the amount that you think is right for you. There's a recent trend in cocktails to make 50-50 martinis. So half,
oh, really?
Half vermouth. That's a little too strong for me.
Yeah.
I like mine at about 6-1.
Okay.
So 6 parts gin to 1 part vermouth.
Okay.
Winston Churchill famously said that you should just fill your pitcher with ice and gin and then look in the direction of the bottle of vermouth.
Okay, well, you know what? And it's funny, I think I mentioned this to you in October, was there's a Gilligan's Island episode where Thurston Howell mixes up a martini, and he has this giant jug of gin, and he pours it, and he's like, okay, first the gin, and then he has an atomizer, and he just says the vermouth, and he sprays it in the air.
Yes.
Kind of near the glass.
Yeah, I like gin, so if I go out and somebody makes what I guess we would call a rinse martini, pour the vermouth into the glass, swirl it and dump it out, and then pour in the cold gin. I'm fine with that. That's not a problem. But I do like a little bit of that vermouth taste. And what's nice too is different vermouths have different flavor profiles. So you can kind of change the profile of the martini. And then there's one more thing that I think is optional, and that's a dash of orange bitters.
One of the videos I saw, they put bitters in there. So orange bitters, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we mix one up and we'll put some Mancini on the turntable as we sip.
Awesome. You're playing Mr. Lucky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Have you watched that series?
I haven't.
Oh, it's easy to find.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the premise, he runs a gambling ship off the coast of California. And what's his name? Who played Artemis Gordon? Ross Martin.
Yeah.
Is his assistant. And a delightful movie, TV show, as well as Peter Gunn. Have you watched? Yeah. I'm sure you've watched Peter Gunn, yes?
Yeah. Peter Gunn is great. And the music that he did for Peter Gunn is fantastic. Yeah.
And the idea of having an actual band as part of the show.
Yeah.
It's so fabulous.
Yeah.
Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah. Okay. That was great martini music right there. Dreamsville from Henry Mancini's Peter Gunn soundtrack. And those of you who don't have that, pick that up. It's every song on there is great. Right before that was Nightside from Henry Mancini's soundtrack to the movie Hatari. And that starred John Wayne. It's kind of a interesting film there. And of course, kicking off that set was a tune. I love this title, Champagne and Quail. And that is from the original Pink Panther film soundtrack, which is another great soundtrack. Okay. So now,
It's so good.
Okay. Garnish, I guess.
We'll start with garnish. Okay.
You do two olives and an onion, right?
I do two olives and an onion. I like, I guess, the bitterness factor. My wife, when we first started drinking martinis, she said, I don't really like the olives. And so the other thing to put in a martini is a lemon twist.
Yeah.
So that's the way she does hers. And occasionally I'll do a lemon twist as well. But I also like a good dirty martini.
I was going to ask you about dirties. Yeah. I love dirty martinis.
Yes. And I make my dirty martinis with vermouth. I have been at bars where they just use the olive brine in place of vermouth, which is fine, but I like that vermouth flavor.
Yes. And for those of you that have not ever had a dirty martini, it is fantastic. They mix... It's a martini with the olive juice or olive brine mixed in, which is great because it adds this salty, olivey flavor. I don't know what else to say. It's just great. I love it. Now, one of the things is I've noticed, and in fact, it was in the 90s. You remember the 90s was everything was martini, and it was, you know, I mean, people would put anything in with vodka and call it a martini.
Yeah, and the Appletini, I think, started coming out around that time.
Apple martinis, drywall martinis. I mean, they put everything in there.
Yes, I'm reminded of a Harry Anderson joke of if your cat has kittens in the oven, you don't call them biscuits. And I think, you know, just because you put it in a martini glass, you don't have to call it a martini. But I think, you know, that's just splitting hairs when you get to that point. But
yeah,
to me, a martini is gin and vermouth.
Yeah.
And the garnish of your choice.
Absolutely. I love it. Okay. All right, so let's move on to some more tunes and enjoy our martinis. Some more Mancini with martinis. Or martinis with Mancini. I'm not quite sure what the title should be.
Martinis with Mancini.
Well, that's perfect. Okay. That's what I shall do.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One of the other garnishes I've seen is, what is it? Blue cheese stuffed olives.
Yes.
Which is good.
Yeah. Yes. And you can also use anchovy stuffed olives.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I wouldn't recommend it in a martini, but they also have jalapeno stuffed olives.
Oh yeah. Okay.
I do a mezcal martini.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Trader Joe's has these, fire roasted olives. And
they do?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Let me see if I can find the jar.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, there we go. Look at that.
Oh, nice. Oh my gosh. I'm going to have to go look for those.
Yeah. Trader Joe's grilled pitted Chalkidiki variety green olives in oil.
Okay. Right on.
So I make a martini with mezcal.
Okay.
And some scorpion bitters. Oh, I should get you that bottle and show it to you.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Wow.
It has a scorpion in it.
That's going to be a hot one.
So there's the scorpion bitters.
Okay.
Which has an actual scorpion in the bottle.
Oh, I thought it was scorpion pepper.
No, well,
it's scorpion, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's made with, it doesn't say what kind of spices, just says spices. But yeah, it's a hot pepper bitters. So mezcal, vermouth, to your personal preference, and then those grilled olives. And what happens is, because olives are packed in oil, there's an oil slick on top of the martini. So you get this, the mezcal smokiness, the olive oil smokiness, and the hot peppers. It's a lot of stuff going on in a single glass. And when my son was over and I made one for him, the first thing he said was, there's a lot going on in here.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good to say about a martini because it's pretty simple.
Yeah, well, simple cocktails are good cocktails.
Yeah.
You don't, I mean, you know, we're both fan of tiki drinks.
Yes.
Which have, in some cases, a lot of ingredients.
Yes.
But, you know, simple spirit-forward cocktails are classics for a reason.
Right. Now, in the early 20th century, that was predominantly a cocktail, was really a lot of booze and maybe a little mixer of other booze.
Yeah. I think that, like the old-fashioned cocktail, the idea of putting a little sweetener and mm-hmm. some bitters in with your whiskey came about because the whiskey probably wasn't all that palatable.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And so adding a little sweetener and adding the bitters to give a little flavor to it, it just made it a more palatable drink.
That's a good point. Yeah, they didn't really have craft cocktails per se back then. It was a lot of things started that way. Very simple drinks. A lot of times, like you said, the booze was not the best.
Not the best.
And so, you know, people got creative with adding a few things to them.
You can find old, you know, old cocktail books online. And they're hard to decipher because a lot of the recipes will say half of a wine glass of. But it's a much smaller wine glass than we would think of using today. It's like a lot of things. It depends on where you're drinking.
Yeah.
And I remember our friend Starshine from the Zen Tiki Lounge. Had to give up her Greyhound when she went out to dive bars because of medication she was taking. And so then she was like, well, what's my new dive bar drink going to be? And, you know, you got to have a dive bar drink, right?
I have one.
What's yours?
My dive bar go-to drink, even at home, is a Cape Cod, which is just vodka cranberry.
Yeah,
with a there you go. Wedge of lime.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I would probably go like with a rum and Coke
mm-hmm.
because I know I can get that. I have a whole history of trying to get a Manhattan at bars. I'm surprised how many bars I've been to that either A, have a bartender that don't know how to make a Manhattan, which I always find odd because you think they could just pull their phone out of their pocket and look it up,
mm-hmm.
or B, don't have vermouth.
Really? Wow.
I know. And it's like, how can you have a bar and not have vermouth?
Yeah. That's odd. Yeah, the dive bars, which I love to, my wife and I love to go find dive bars and check them out because they're fun and they're cheap and it's casual. But one of the things, it's interesting because when you go to a dive bar, you're going to get what I call an and drink. It's this and that, and that's it.
Oh, that's a perfect description. Yes.
It's
rum
drink.
And Coke. Yes.
Yes, I have the same thing with Greyhounds. I love white grapefruit,
mm-hmm.
and I sadly I'm in the boat too. I started taking blood pressure medication, and they said you can't have grapefruit with it. And I asked the pharmacist. I said, okay, what happens if I take grapefruit? Am I going to sprout a third head or something? She goes, no, it just lowers the effectiveness. And I'm like, okay, so I could have a drink with grapefruit in it, right? And she said, yeah, it won't hurt you if you have one. So
yeah, I'm in the same boat. and I'm not supposed to have grapefruit. But as I said the other day when we were texting, I was a martini and a Hemingway daiquiri into it because I have a neighbor just up the street that has a white grapefruit tree. And you know how difficult it is to find white grapefruit.
Yes.
Yes. So
I have one too, who lives about 15 minutes from me, and their tree is always overloaded.
Oh yeah.
And I actually planted a white grapefruit 2 years ago, and it was only like 2 feet tall. So it was a baby one.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing is the slowest growing tree. It's given me two grapefruits in 2 years. It's now about 4.5 feet tall, but oh, that thing is so slow. But yeah, I did that because I love white grapefruit, and you can't find it.
It's hard to find. Yeah,
it is. It is. Okay.
Do you know about Harry Potter in Venice?
I don't. Venice, California?
No.
Venice.
Yeah.
Venice. Okay. No, obviously I don't. If I asked that question. So tell me about that.
Yeah. Apparently Hemingway had a big say in how they make their martinis. And their martinis are very, very dry. Mm. It's about like a 15 to 1 ratio of gin to vermouth. Yeah. So following the Winston Churchill lead.
Just walk the bottle by.
Yes. Yeah. And not unlike Thurston Howe, use your atomizer.
Yeah, just
bit. Yeah. And it comes in a small glass, basically just like an oversized shot glass. And the reason for that is that they don't want it to cool off, or to warm up, rather. They don't want it to warm up. And so, although I've never been there to have one, I understand their philosophy, and I think that that's the bottom line. Martinis need to be cold.
Very cold, yeah.
Yeah, and there's even a trend to serve a martini where basically half the martini is put into the glass and the other half of the martini is in a separate glass on a bed of ice, keeping it cold so that when you're ready for the next part of your martini, it hasn't warmed up.
Yes, I love that. I've been to a few swanky restaurants where if you ordered a martini, they would bring you the little sidecar. Mm-hmm. And it was on a little bed of ice.
A little bed of ice, right.
Which brings me to another really famous martini cocktail bar up here in Los Angeles, Musso and Frank.
Of course.
That is, and if those of you who don't know about it, it's Hollywood makes fun of it a lot because it's one of those power lunch places from old Hollywood.
But let's also not forget, it was Harry Dean Stanton's favorite bar.
Yes.
He was there. He was a regular there.
Yes. There was a lot of people that used to be regulars. It's still there. It's got to be, my gosh, it's got to be getting close to 100, if not 100 already. And the waiters still wear those little red jackets, the little half mm-hmm. jackets. And when they mix a martini, they give it to you with the little sidecar in the ice, and it's a beautiful thing. It's very old school. I suggest anybody listening, if you are in LA, it's in Hollywood, just stop by Musso and Frank and just get yourself a martini.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
It's very good. Shaken versus stirred.
I think it's a personal preference.
Okay. There's no...
Yeah, I think it's related to how much vermouth you should add to your martini. If you like it shaken, drink it shaken.
Yeah.
And then I'll say this, when it comes to shaking it, some people double strain their martini, so they pour it out through the shaker and then through a little sieve so that all the ice flakes will be gone. Personally, I like the ice flakes.
I do too.
Yeah. I think it's just pretty and also helps keep my martini cold.
Keeps it
and
cold.
That's what's most important is a cold martini.
Yeah.
At home, I make mine stirred, not shaken. But, you know, it's personal preference. Apparently, James Bond had his martinis shaken because he diluted it a little more. Mm. And therefore, he wasn't drinking as strong a cocktail as his... you know, enemies thought he was.
And he was drinking a kangaroo.
And right? Well, no, the Bond martini was mostly gin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was gin and a little vodka and that, I guess, now unobtainable Lillet. But
yeah, well, that was the Vesper martini.
Vesper martini.
In the movies, he would always order a vodka martini shaken, not stirred.
Oh, yeah. And I guess in some ways we have to look at the movies and say, are they canon?
Yeah. Yeah.
But right. And I love the movies. Don't get me wrong.
All right. Any other things we should go over?
I think we covered it. Let's see. Use a good London dry gin.
Yeah.
Use a good quality vermouth. Orange bitters, if you want. It's optional.
Mm-hmm.
Garnish, traditionally, a green olive or a lemon twist. Technically, if you use an onion, it becomes a Gibson. But I like a combination of two olives and an onion. And I call it a Gibtini, but...
Gibtini, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so Stephen, thank you for coming on the show. This, unlike my Bond show, I'm not doing this show hammered, so...
or like your zombie show?
The zombie show. Oh my God. I can't believe I did that. We mixed every zombie recipe we could find. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I'm excited to have you on to talk about martinis because, yeah, like you, for the same reason you did martinis for your room party at a tiki event, it's a nice break, and it kind of highlights the martini a little bit better because when rum is all around you and you serve martinis, it shines a little bit.
Oh, and we had such a good time serving martinis that we actually did our room party 3 times.
Oh, well, yeah. I remember that one evening. I kept knocking on your door and coming back for more.
That was wonderful. Yes.
Can I get one more?
I think, you know, a big part of it was even in October in Palm Springs, it's still pretty warm.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a really cold martini on a warm day.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good combination.
Now you're talking. Okay, so instead of aloha, I'll say cheers.
And cheers to you.
Okay. I want to give a big mahalo to Stephen Sloan. And if you are coming to Tiki Caliente and Tiki Circa Caliente in Palm Springs at any time, he's going to be there. And of course, I'm always there too. So thank you for listening. If you want to go on digitiki.com, go to the podcast page, look at this podcast. You can get a complete rundown of all the tracks on this show. I didn't announce a lot of them because we just got to talking and having martinis. So I hope you enjoyed the show. Until next time, everyone, aloha. And I hope you enjoyed this little excursion off the island.